Our reading today is from Luke chapter 19, beginning at the first verse, and it's on page 1053. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen.
So this is a new year, and over the next few weeks we're going to be thinking about new beginnings. We've had Christmas, and now we're going to look at a number of encounters with Jesus whose lives are changed because of that encounter with Jesus, whose lives begin afresh, a brand new beginning. What it looks like to meet Jesus. Because it's only in meeting Jesus that we have that new encounter. And that is only possible. It's only impossible for these people to encounter Jesus because of Christmas that we just celebrated, because of the incarnation. When a Savior was born, isn't that what the angel said? "For unto you is born today a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So it's only possible for these encounters to happen. It's only possible for this new life to begin because of Christmas, because of that fulfillment of God's promise to us when Jesus was born. So anyway, today's encounter is from Luke. The main theme in the book of Luke, the most distinctive theme in the book of Luke, is the theme of salvation. Isn't that what Christmas is about? "For to you today is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And that's the theme, the main theme, all the way through the book of Luke, about salvation. And in order to convey that, Luke picks out many stories that we know about what it means to be saved or rescued, what it means to be lost and found. So he has stories like the shepherd with 100 sheep. He loses one. It's lost. He goes to find it, rescues it, salvation. There's a story of the lady with the 10 coins. She loses one. It's lost. She sweeps the floor. She sweeps the house until she finds it. It is found. It is rescued. It is saved. Then that very famous story of the two sons. One is lost, the prodigal son. So Luke picks out these stories to show what it means to be lost and what it means to be found. Today's story about Zacchaeus is going to end in being found. It's going to end in salvation. No one in the story, no one around Zacchaeus was going to expect this encounter. No one's going to expect this conclusion. Definitely not Zacchaeus himself. This is not what he expected to happen that particular day. But we get a lovely picture as we look into it. Jesus' mission when he came as a Savior is summed up in verse 10. If you keep your Bibles open at that, it might be really useful. I think it would be. Luke chapter 19. But verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This was his mission. That's what the angel said. "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. He will rescue his people." That's what Jesus said. "My purpose is to seek and to save what was lost." The word "lost" is a really strong word. It means to be totally ruined, completely destroyed. That is what lostness means. And it's only as we take into consideration what it means to be lost. It's a word that we're familiar with. But the impact of what Jesus is saying, what it means to be lost, the awfulness of lostness, that we can really see the wonder of foundness. But the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. He said in verse 10, he came, because he's coming to Jericho in this story, but he's not talking about Jericho. He's talking about Christmas, the incarnation. Jesus came, he was born for this very purpose. And then he takes that title, the Son of Man. And in so doing, he aligns himself with people like us, flesh and blood, humanity. He is the Son of Man. But it's also a messianic title that goes right back to Daniel. And this is Jesus' favorite title for him. So he's aligning himself with us, humanity, Son of Man, but it's also a messianic title. He is God. He is God's chosen one. So the title sums up exactly who Jesus is and what he has come to do. So God sends Jesus to save people. That's what he came to do. Not to be a great moral teacher or to show us a better way to live. He didn't come to be a great teacher or a nice person. He came to rescue that which was lost. That was his purpose. That's what the angel said. He will save his people. And so some of these encounters that we're going to look at are encounters that lives have been changed. So we know this story really well. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus is coming into Jericho. The name Zacchaeus means innocent, pure, righteous one. That's some name to have, isn't it? His name means innocent, pure, righteous one. But everybody knew that Zacchaeus was not innocent, pure, or righteous. He was a collaborator with the Roman authorities. He was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He was greedy and corrupt. They all knew that he was not innocent and pure and righteous. Very far from it. And he was a small man. His stature is tiny. And in a sense, it's symbolic of his place in life. Everybody looked down on him. And he may indeed have despised himself and what he was, what he had become. But he wanted to see Jesus. Verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But he had a couple of problems. He was very small, and the crowd was very big. How could that happen? You know what it's like if you go to a festival or you go to a parade or something, you want to see it, but the people are all taller than you. I remember many years ago, remember, Dawn, we went to see Cliff Richard in the King's Hall? And remember, that's how long ago it was, Cliff Richard. It wasn't that long ago when I think about it. But we were there with friends, one of whom was very small, and it was standing. So I could see Cliff perfectly. She stood for the whole time and didn't see him at all. All she could was hear him. She saw nothing because she was so small. And that was Zacchaeus' problem as well. He was very small. The crowd were coming because this is the week before Jesus died. He's on his way to Jerusalem the very week before he died. He's got this amazing reputation. He healed people. He did all sorts of wonderful things. People are flocking to see him. But Zacchaeus couldn't get his way in. But as well as being small and the crowd being big, he had another problem, and that this was a hostile crowd. No one likes to pay their taxes, and everybody knew who Zacchaeus was. They knew exactly who he was. They knew his methods of getting money out of people. Because back then, a tax collector was given the authority by the Romans who were occupying the place. And so, Mark, you were told you've got to raise X amount of euro. So you went and knocked on doors, and you raised X amount of euro plus whatever commission you wanted. And you could use any tactics you like. But he was a chief tax collector, so he was above all these people. So he was raking in commission from all these people who were knocking on doors and using strong-arm tactics. People didn't like him. So in order to see Jesus, he had to go where the people were. But they knew who he was. So it wasn't a very good environment. But he wasn't going to be put off. He was determined. He was resourceful. He would not let the circumstances determine the outcome. I want you to think about that. He wouldn't let his circumstances determine the outcome. He found a perfect vantage point. He ran up. He knew Jesus was coming this way. And he climbed into a sycamore fig tree. That's what it's described. What about us? Do we want to see Jesus? Do we want to see him in our lives? Do we describe ourselves as Christians or followers? But what about our lives? Can our lives get in the way of us seeing Jesus, of us hearing Jesus, of us following Jesus? It happens to us all so easily. We can say, work is so busy at the moment, I don't have time to go to home group or the church, or the kids need to go to rugby on a Sunday morning, or whatever it might be. There's so many things or circumstances are like huge towers that stand between us and Jesus. And we can either say that's just life at the moment, and our faith begins to die. Or like Zacchaeus, we can say, I'm not going to let these things hold me back. I'm going to find a way around this so that I can see Jesus. Are we too busy to pray? Is the thought of reading the Bible in a year really scary? Zacchaeus decided not to allow his circumstances to determine the outcome of his life. So up he went, a tree. If Zacchaeus' attitude had been, nobody likes me, the crowd is too big, I'm going home, he would never have seen Jesus. He would never have been saved or rescued. His life would not have been made brand new. He would have not been forgiven. He would not have eternity if he had been put off by those things. But anyway, he climbs a tree. He's got a perfect view. But even then, left to his own devices, he would have let Jesus walk by because he's up a tree. Jesus is coming along. He doesn't say, Jesus! He says nothing. Left to himself, there would have been no change. But he wasn't left to himself. If you've got your Bible open and you look at the last story of chapter 18, the story right before the Zacchaeus story, it's really interesting. Because Luke, in writing this story, does a kind of juxtaposition of stories. So Jesus is coming into Jericho. The first encounter that he has is with a blind man. And if you read it, the blind man is there. He knows there's something happening. He says, what's happening? The people say, Jesus is coming. And he shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they say, shh, be quiet. Stop drawing attention to yourself. And he shouts even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears him and comes to him and heals him. Here is a blind man who physically could not see. But his spiritual insights were great. He knew that Jesus could change his life. That's why he called for Jesus. Physically, he could not see, but inwardly, spiritually, he could see very clear that Jesus was the one who could heal him. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, had 20/20 vision. He could see perfectly. But spiritually, he was blind. He couldn't see who Jesus was or what Jesus could do. So you have these two beautiful stories side by side, the one who was physically blind but could see, and the one who was spiritually blind. But what does Jesus do? When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, I think it's even that, he looked up, Jesus looked up. Everybody had looked down on Zacchaeus, but Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Lots of things to notice in that little phrase, that little couple of sentences. Jesus called his name. Jesus knew his name. And isn't that what the Bible says to us as well? When he calls us by name. He knows his own people. He said, I want to stay at your house tonight. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus wanted to stay with Zacchaeus. And he came down and welcomed him. And what did the people do? Did they say, oh, this is great. Good old Zacchaeus. No, they grumbled. He's going to go to the house of a sinner. They didn't like it one little bit. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." The people hated Zacchaeus and didn't really want to see him change. But Jesus knew his name. And when it was called, and when he was told to come down, he came down immediately and said, "If I have cheated anybody, I will pay them back four times the amount, and I will give away half of my possessions to the poor." That's quite a lot, isn't it? And his life was changed. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." A lot changed in his life. So when was Zacchaeus saved? When was he rescued? When did salvation come? Was it when he said, "I will give away half of my possessions"? When he said, "I will pay back four times the amount"? Was it then? No, it wasn't then. Salvation came when Jesus said to him, "Come down." He heard God's word and he obeyed it. He came down immediately. The rest was a response to that. The rest was a working out of that. Because that is what it means to be a person of faith. When we hear God's voice and we obey it, our lives naturally change. That's what it's meant to do. For some of us, it takes a while. And God is working his purpose out over the years, no matter how long we live. But something new began. A new relationship with God for Zacchaeus, but also a new relationship with the people who hated him. Because he was giving things away, he was paying people back. A whole new relationship started between himself and God and himself and the population. God is a God of new things. But it all began when he responded, when he was obedient to Jesus. And I've said for weeks and weeks and weeks, there's no point knowing these things if we just ignore them. Didn't Jesus say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I ask you to do?" It's worthless. It's faith that is meaningless. It's a sham, it's a facade, just fooling ourselves. But a faith that hears Jesus say whatever he says, and we do it, that is true faith. That is saving faith. And that is what Zacchaeus had. Maybe Jesus is saying to you today, "I want to come and stay with you." Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you hear his voice today saying, "I know your name. Can you see me? I want to come and stay with you." To respond like Zacchaeus would be a really, really good thing to do. Or maybe he's challenging you afresh, just about our lives. Has really knowing Jesus made any difference at all? Have I any commitment to him? I want to come and stay with you today. When Jesus said, "I must come to your house," it was a sign that this was a God-ordained thing. Jesus knew Zacchaeus would be in that tree. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus would be looking for him. Jesus knew that he would go to that home, and Jesus knew that life would be changed forever. This was a God-ordained episode. His life was made brand new. He didn't give away his money with a heavy heart. He did what he did because he had met Jesus, and everything was different. This is the wonder of meeting Jesus. And over the next week or so, next month or so, we'll be looking at various encounters and how Jesus changed their lives. But it's not just a story for then, it's a story for today, for you, for me. Jesus wants the very best for us.